The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the race books and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Alrighty, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station, South Point Studios, at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital. And of course, on the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. And you know how to get there. Just go to YouTube, punch in South Point Studios. You get to the page, click Race Day, and we're all set and ready to go. And if you want to chat, just make sure you subscribe. Subscription is free. And then you can get on the chat board and chat away as far as the folks are watching and listening to us, the good, the bad, the ugly, on the chat as well. So we welcome you to the show this way. And, of course, here in Las Vegas, if you're running around town this morning on a beautiful postcard morning here in Las Vegas, running around doing some early errands, you can hear us on our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM. And, of course, we're on all of the other streaming platforms that we have, like our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global. iPhone or Android, got you covered there, too, with the apps. KSHP app will get you listening on the radio side. And, of course, the YouTube app, you can see and hear us on the South Point Studios streaming side. And, of course, those apps for your iPhones and Androids, and anywhere else you get your podcasting as well. Welcome to the Race Day Show on this almost Friday, Thursday Race Day Show. Of course, tonight we got another Thursday night NFL football game. Rich, you'll give us a selection on that a little bit later on. And, of course, today is opening day at Churchill Downs. Churchill Downs fall meet opens today, and we are on the threshold of opening Los Alamitos in Southern California tomorrow and Belmont at Aqueduct. A long wait since the end of the Saratoga meeting. New York racing gets underway again in the big leagues tomorrow at Belmont at Aqueduct. So we got plenty of that stuff to go for this weekend. As far as this weekend is concerned, big racing going on at Churchill Downs. There'll be five stakes races on Saturday, two grade twos and one grade three and a couple of more. But, you know, the first Derby points for next year's Kentucky Derby will be in the Iroquois Stakes for two-year-olds on Saturday at Churchill Downs. So, you know, I guess we're already underway on our road to the Kentucky Derby, even before we get to the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, the Breeders' Cup is right around the corner. 50 days, 4 hours, 18 minutes, and 8 seconds and counting for that Breeders' Cup. So keep that in mind as well. We'll have a lot of special shows here for Breeders' Cup leading up to it. And, of course, our big seminar here at the South Point as well. But getting back to those races, Louisiana Downs will host the Super Derby on Saturday. And, of course, Los Alamitos will have the E.B. Johnston Stakes. You'll have a stakes race at Monmouth, a couple of three of them, I think, at Laurel. And at Woodbine, a big weekend, a big Saturday coming up at Woodbine. Woodbine has six stakes races on Saturday, four grade ones, including the Woodbine Mile. That is a Breeders' Cup win in your in race, and that is always an important race for the Breeders' Cup Mile, the Woodbine Mile. We'll take a look at that in a minute or two, but just taking a look at some of the other stuff happening this weekend. All right, well, the Vitality won the Prince of Wales Stakes at Fort Erie. That was the second jewel of the Canadian Triple Crown. and paid $20.10 for the win there. And so that became the 13th different horse to win the last 13 Canadian Triple Crown races. So, you know, variety there, that's for sure. But there hasn't been a horse that's eligible for the Canadian Triple Crown in a long time. Vitality wins the middle jewel of the Canadian Triple Crown. Belmont at Aqueduct. This meet will host 6 win-and-you're-in races for the Breeders' Cup. Of course, it's the Belmont Fall Meeting where they have all those Breeders' Cup win-and-you're-in races leading up to the Breeders' Cup at this meet. There'll be 6 of them at Belmont at Aqueduct coming up this month. Goliad, the winner, a big winner of the stakes race at Kentucky Downs. In fact, 2 races there at Kentucky Downs in their short meet. He's now prepping and going for the Breeders' Cup Mile. So Goliad will be in the Breeders' Cup Mile after those 2 big wins at Kentucky Downs. Javier Castellano, remember, he got hurt in a little of an accident there when he went down. He expects to be back the first weekend of October, so good news with Javier there. And Woodbine, as I say, the mile field will feature Godolphin. And Godolphin Racing has won the last 2 Woodbine miles. They're going for the 3rd Woodbine mile in a row. And there's a field of 8 going in that race. They are Play Me a Tune. Naval Power is the Godolphin horse. Charlie Appleby, of course, trains. William Buick will ride. He was 2nd in the Turf Classic Stakes most recently. Secret Reserve is in the race. Big Rock as well. Philo de Ariana is also in the race. Philo de Ariana, of course, won the King Edward Stakes recently and now in Canada for the Woodbine Mile. Win for the Money. Mark Cassie has an entrant there. That's Win for the Money with Patrick Husbands. Niagara Skyline and My Boy Prince will round out the field. Mark Cassie has 2, make that 3 horses. Cassie has 3 horses in the Woodbine Mile of the 8. They are, again, Philo de Ariana. Win for the Money and My Boy Prince. But Godolphin is going for the 3rd consecutive Woodbine Mile with the 3rd different horse there. So we'll wait and see about that. Kentucky Downs. Big meet there. Wrapped up yesterday. Kentucky Downs handle was up almost 8% from last year. And it was an exciting day of racing at Kentucky Downs. They started out the races yesterday with a $21 winner. Then Brian Hernandez for Al Stahl came in with a $5.78 winner. Then a big $93 winner in the 3rd race. Following that, the 4th race for 2-year-old Maiden, the Filly Maidens, was won by Ramsey Pond, Ired Ortiz Jr., Safi Joseph Jr., the trainer, at $10.86. Following that, your 7th race was won by Mischievous Angel, giving Ired Ortiz Jr. back-to-back wins on closing day at Kentucky Downs. That was important. I'll explain in a minute. $11.08 for the win for Jorge Abrua. Then you have the 6th race, a maiden race for 2-year-olds. The winner there was Fleming for Brandon Walsh. Tyler Gaffleone aboard. That was an important win, $3.30. Following that, in the 7th race, Brittany Russell, Florent Garreau got together with a $10.12 winner. In the $500,000 Nashville Gold Cup at 2 1/16 miles. 2 1/16 miles. They went around that big racetrack twice. And so the winner there was Limited Liability, who went out and took the lead early and never was headed. Went wire to wire in the 2 1/16 mile stakes race there under Frankie Dettori. It was Shug McGahee trained. Limited Liability wire to wire in the marathon, paying $6.06. And then in the $1,600,000 Dueling Ground Oaks, at 1 5/16, the winner there was Kathy and Marissa. Kathy and Marissa, a pick by Rich Eng on this show yesterday, paying $7.90. So thanks a lot, Richie. Catherine and Marissa gives Frankie Dettori both stakes wins yesterday on closing day at Kentucky Downs. Again, $7.90 for the win for trainer Dick Dutrow. Finishing 2nd was Waves of Mischief. 3rd was Siege of Troy. And then it all came down to the 10th and final race at Kentucky Downs for the jockey standings and the trainer standings. The winner of the last race was Isle of Capri, giving Brendan Walsh, the trainer, 2 wins on the day, and that allowed him to tie for the lead in the trainer standings at Kentucky Downs. Isle of Capri was ridden by Tyler Gaffleone, and that win enabled Tyler Gaffleone to tie Ired Ortiz Jr. in the jockey standings. That win paid $7.84, closing out Kentucky Downs, as I say, where they had they were up almost 8% in handle. And so at the end, we had ties in both the jockey and trainer standings there at Kentucky Downs. Jockey standings, Tyler Gaffleone and Ired Ortiz Jr. both had 9 wins on the meet. As far as the trainer standings was concerned, Brendan Walsh, Steve Asmussen, and Joe Sharp all had 6 wins apiece. But it came down to that last race for Gaffleone and Walsh to get those ties. So congratulations to them at Kentucky Downs yesterday. And so it goes. All right, we've got a lot to cover on today's Race Day show. Also want to mention the fact that Santa Anita coming up. Now, the Santa Anita meet, of course, will follow this short Los Alamitos meet that starts tomorrow. But when Santa Anita kicks in, they have a couple of new wagers they're going to have. The $5 late daily double and the $3 late pick three. They're going to have a low takeout for those two pools at 15%. That will take the place of the golden hour late double and the golden hour late pick three there. So that's because Golden Gate is no longer. So those two new pools will happen at Santa Anita coming up. And, of course, through the fall meet, Santa Anita will offer a $1 pick five with a 15% takeout on Saturdays and Sundays, consisting of races from Gulfstream Park and Santa Anita. The pick five, Gulfstream Park, the Coast to Coaster, is back. They'll have a daily $3 all-turf pick three. And the track is going to announce, of course, the pick six will go back to a $2 minimum from the $1 minimum they had last year. So it's now a $2 minimum for the pick six at Santa Anita. They're juggling a little bit of some of the pools, some of the new bets they have, and lower takeouts for some of them at 15%. All right, that's enough of that. On today's show, we've got Jonathan Ardoon back, Rich Eng, who had another winner for us yesterday. He's on a streak. And, of course, with the NFL Thursday night game, we'll have a pick from him for the NFL game tonight. John Linda will be with us. Jerry Jackowitz will continue his conversation that was cut short yesterday when we ran out of time. And even Bob Mazursky may join us today to preview Los Alamitos. So we got a lot to cover. And so with that, we'll go to our first break. And when we come back, we'll start off with our menu and our handicappers. So don't go away on this almost Thursday, almost Friday, I should say, Thursday Race Day show. We'll be back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes 2 XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Site, so keep that in mind. A lot of good stuff going on there. And, of course, looking at the weather, like I said at the top of the show, it was a beautiful day here. It is a beautiful day. What a difference a day makes. Yesterday, we were choking with terrible air quality from all of the smoke that was blown in from California and all those devastating fires that are going on in California. But we had wind that came through here yesterday and blew it out. So this morning, it is an absolute perfect morning out there in Las Vegas. Right now it's 75 degrees. Are you kidding? 75 degrees out this morning. And of course, we're going to get up only to 96. The weather for the next foreseeable future will have us no longer in the 100 or plus degrees here. We're finally getting into some sort of fall weather. We will not hit 100 for the foreseeable future. Just keep that in mind if you're coming up for the weekend. Today we'll top out at 96 and we'll be between the 90s and maybe the high 80s for the next 10-day run out here in Las Vegas. As far as the rest of the country, Miami 89, that's where they'll be playing the game tonight between the Buffalo and Miami. And then up in New York City, 80 degrees. Chicago, 85. Los Angeles, 80 degrees there. Phoenix, Arizona, still in the hundreds. Phoenix, Arizona, the hottest part of the country at 107. And, of course, Chicago will be 85 degrees there. So it's going to be really nice coming up this weekend, except for the southeast. They're getting slammed with that hurricane that finally made it onshore, on land. Arkansas, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, you know, all in through there, including the upper half, the northern half of Florida, are going to get a lot of rain out of that storm going through as it moves up and into on land. And in the great Northwest, we got some action going on there as well. But for the rest of the country, looks pretty clear and good. So we'll start with our racing menu for today, hoping that racing conditions around the country are just going to be fine. Your racing menu, of course, each and every day as we broadcast the racing menu, reminds you that the first post times on the racing menu are that of the Pacific time zone. So if you're listening here in Las Vegas on this beautiful morning, and you're coming here to the South Point to play the races right in the race book behind us, these will be the first post times that roll out in our race book today. If you're listening in the Pacific time zone, same deal. These will be your first post times. Everybody else listening on all the other different platforms, etc., whatever time zone you're in, adjust to the Pacific time zone so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? First post times are Pacific. We start out with Delaware Park. Delaware Park has 8 races today, and their first post time is at 9:30 Pacific time today at Delaware Park. Following Delaware Park comes Belterra. Belterra Park has 8 races. Their first post time at Belterra Park is at 9:35. Horseshoe Indianapolis. 10 races today at Horseshoe Indianapolis. The first 8 races will be thoroughbreds. The last 2 will be quarter horses. The final race will, the ninth race, I should say, will be a quarter horse stakes race for 2-year-olds. The ninth and 10th are the quarter horse races. Again, 10 races. First post time at Horseshoe Indianapolis is set at 11:10 at Horseshoe Indianapolis. Following that comes Hawthorne Racecourse. 9 races at Hawthorne today. Hawthorne's first post time is at 12:10. They have a super high five carryover there of $2,299. 12:10 first post. Woodbine, north of the border, getting ready for the big Woodbine Mile day on Saturday with all those great stakes races. Today at Woodbine, they have 8 races. Their first post time is 1:50. They have a pick six jackpot carryover of $5,458. They have a super high five jackpot carryover of $49,419. Again, first post time 1:50 at the Woodbine. Opening day for the fall meet of Churchill Downs. Want to remind everybody out there, Churchill Downs has already said that there will have no turf racing on the turf course for the entire Churchill Downs fall meeting. They're doing that to take care of the turf course. It has nothing to do with the weather. No turf racing, all dirt racing at Churchill Downs. Opening day today, they have a twilight post time. Their opening day for 8 races. First post time will be at 2 o'clock this afternoon, 2 o'clock Pacific time. Opening day at Churchill Downs. Canterbury Park, they have 8 races. Their first post time is at 3:10 at Canterbury Park. Charlestown. Charlestown Races has 8 races. Their first post time is at 4 p.m. And Remington Park wraps up the racing menu for today. They have 10 races and a first post time of 4:30 at Remington today. All right, time to get to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Oh, the weather is just fine here. We were choking yesterday with the smoke, but it's absolutely perfect today. It's a great day out there.
What happened with the smoke? Where'd it go?
It got blown away. Mother Nature gave us a nice windstorm that blew it away. It went somewhere else, not here.
That's good. Perfect.
How's Saratoga?
It's beautiful. It's chilly, but it's nice. This is the nicest time of year up here. It's the foliage season is coming, and it's really beautiful if you like sitting outside and watching trees turn different colors. It's just a nice time of year to be here. It's quiet, you know, after the big Saratoga meet, and everyone leaves town and back to normal for at least 10 more months.
Well, we got a big weekend coming up at Woodbine. Woodbine has their stakes races there, and I believe they have six stakes races. Three of them are Breeders' Cup winning your in races, including the Woodbine Mile, who in the past, Woodbine Mile has been a very key race for the Breeders' Cup Mile. So we'll wait and see about that. But Churchill Downs also having a big weekend for its start of the fall meeting, five stakes races. And the Iroquois for two-year-olds will be the first stakes race that will offer Kentucky Derby points for the leaderboard for the Kentucky Derby. And they're not even 3 years old yet. So the Iroquois came up as the, I believe, the 10th race on Saturday with a field of 12.
Not only that, but the Derby's so far away, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe two or three of the horses that are actually in that race make it to the first Saturday in May. It's just an early time of year to start doing it. By the way, Ralph, an interesting stat. Kentucky Downs winners are 0-54. Shipping into the Breeders' Cup races. So everybody gets all hyped when they see these great big performances at Kentucky Downs. But so far, it really hasn't translated into, you know, being a key meet for Breeders' Cup horses.
And that is such a key stat that you gave us, because I was just talking about Goliad, who won two races during the short meet, that big multi-million dollar stakes race the other day. And has performed well in Southern California. Don't forget that the Breeders' Cup is at Del Mar this year. But that stat, man, that sticks out.
It certainly does. It's not a small sample. It's a serious sample size. The interesting thing about Goliad, he's a seven-year-old. I think he's earned like $150,000. And then all of a sudden, in a seven-day span, he earned over $1.5 million running at Kentucky Downs. So you never know.
Well, Dick Mandela knows when to strike when the iron is hot, that is for sure. And he did just that at Kentucky Downs. But getting back to the Iroquois, there are a dozen horses in this race. And Owen Almighty, Ired Ortiz Jr. for Brian Lynch, is the 5-2 favorite in that race. But I think this is more than just the favorite in that one, don't you?
Absolutely. There was a horse that ran at Saratoga, other than Fierceness, who you loved off of his debut win, and he ran super, getting beat in the hopeful in career start number two. A horse named Jonathan's Way for Phil Bauer, who does a terrific job at Saratoga and does a terrific job in general. He ran extremely impressive in his career debut. Go back, watch the race. I think that's the horse to beat. He's listed at 9-2 on the morning line. And if I get anywhere near that price, I'll take it all day long.
Wow. Okay. And of course, Joel Rosario riding Jonathan's way for him. He's a post 10 in the 12 horse field. This is at a mile, so he'll have to negotiate some sort of a trip going into the first turn.
But it's only one turn there. It's not two turns there, Mark.
You're absolutely right. Shoot.
It's actually an advantage to be drawn outside, to tell you the truth.
You're absolutely right. I stand corrected. It is a one-mile track, but they do have a one-mile chute there. And so he'll break from the outside, the outside post, because the chute is like the chute almost like it is at Saratoga. It does tilt a little. It tilts a little
right.
bit to the left.
That's a little bit of an elbow in it, yeah. But for the most part, it's one turn. It's one and a quarter turn, so however you want to describe it.
Thank you, my man, for correcting us there. It's going to be a great day of racing both there and at Woodbine. And because of that, of course, you have a Churchill Downs sheet. You're going to do that every day, correct?
Yeah, Churchill, New York, and California for sure. And on other days, we'll add in another track if they have big races.
Have you ever done a Woodbine, I might add?
I do it on occasion, not often. I'm not a big fan of Tapeda, and that's where most of their races are, with the exception of the turf races. So who knows?
Well, you might want to take a look at Saturday's card at Woodbine, because there are big races there, and I don't think any of them are on the Tapeda. Anyhow, I'm just hustling you, that's all. Let me hustle you for a horse today.
All right, Ralph, let's go to the fourth race today. By the way, late to post today, it's 5 p.m. on the East Coast, I guess 2 o'clock for you guys, for the first race at Churchill today. It's Twilight Racing.
Yep.
Let's look at the fourth race today. 7 furlongs on the main track. And I really like the number two horse in here, Stingy. This is a 3-year-old colt who was claimed 2 starts back by trainer Joe Sharp. Ran very well first time out for Sharp at Churchill. Shipped to Saratoga. Ran well there also. Ships back now to Churchill. Tyler Gaffalione takes the mount. 7-2 on the morning line. Number two, Stingy, wins today's fourth race at a Churchill
day. Well, we hope he's not stingy with the price. In any case, the fourth race, number two, Stingy. 7-2 on the morning line. Tyler Gaffalione aboard. And both Gaffalione and Sharp, of course, had tied for the lead in their respective divisions and their respective standings recently at Kentucky Downs. So that's a good team together. Fourth race, the two, Stingy. The two in the fourth race, Churchill Downs. And that's Jonathan Hardoon's pick for us today. Remember, it's a late post time, so no, you don't have to worry about rushing out and getting it. And, of course, Jonathan has a full sheet today for Churchill Downs, right?
JonHardoon.com. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you, Jonathan. Enjoy the day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Great.
All right, now we're going to go to Southern California where Bob Mazursky is standing by, and Bob is getting ready to open up that Los Alamitos meet, that fun little thoroughbred Los Alamitos meet that will start tomorrow. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my man. How you doing in Southern Cal?
Well, we're good. While I was waiting to come on, we had a little bit of a jolt here, so that was a little disconcerting.
Wow.
But it was a short one, but we did have a slight little jolt.
You have,
at least I felt it here. I don't know where it was centered.
They call that in Southern California a tremor, right?
That is correct.
Well, let's so. And I, there was nothing rattling that we saw, so at least all the glasses are still on the shelf.
Yeah, everything, knock on wood, is good.
All right, just a quick thought about, I know you cover Southern California racing. What were your impressions of Del Mar this year?
Well, it was a lot more speed favoring than it has been in recent years, that's for sure. A lot of days where you couldn't pass anybody, but there was obviously some very good performances. Bob Baffert had really good two-year-olds. Gaming looks like a future star for him. And, you know, of course, the Pacific Classic was the big upset with Mixto. It didn't look like a great field on paper, and it certainly panned out. A horse that was 25-1 was able to win the race. So, Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of good performances, especially on the grass. Umberto Rispoli, Hector Berrios did great on the turf course there. They both ride that course very, very well. And, of course, Juan Hernandez, as he usually is, was leading rider.
You know, Mixto, I think, was eligible for non-winner too, right? All he did was break his maiden.
That is correct. He had and he'd been beaten in some pretty soft spots, but he got the money on the right day. That's why, you know, Doug O'Neill takes a lot of shots running horses in races where they sometimes look overmatched, but sometimes it works out, and it certainly did that day. They got a million dollar pot.
Bob, I am so curious in seeing the Baffert winners there, how many different two-year-olds he won races with at Del Mar this year. It seemed like every race for two-year-olds had, you know, a royally bred horse out of his barn that was making a first-time start that was bet down. And, you know, they won more often than they didn't, that's for sure. But I would be very interested to see how many of those two-year-olds, how many of those broke their maiden at Del Mar this year.
Yeah, there were certainly quite a few, and you're right. They always get bet down. Everybody knows about the Bob Baffert two-year-olds, especially at Del Mar. They're always going to get overbet. You know, sometimes when he runs his two horses, the longer price wins. That certainly happened with 10 Ma and the debutante. You know, he kept saying before she ran the first time that she would need two turns and that, you know, she wasn't really a sprinter, but she was able to win going short first time out. Then they stretched her to 7/8 of a mile to the debutante. He said the same thing again, that, you know, she's going to be better around two turns, but she was able to get the job done. So let's see if he's right and that she is better when she's even better when she goes two turns.
Well, if she is, that'll be the Breeders' Cup juvenile fillies will hurt her right between the eyes, that's for sure. Coming up at Los Alamitos, a short meet, we know, but the E.B. Johnston will be on Saturday. And, of course, we all know that Bob Baffert, when he gets to the two-year-old races, the Los Alamitos Futurity there, he almost owns that thing. But the E.B. Johnston comes up this weekend.
Yeah, it's a race for older cowbreds, three-year-olds and up, going a mile. And it's a race that it's a holdover from the old Fairplex days. It was run many, many, many times at Fairplex because, of course, the Johnston family, you know, they were known as the king of the bullring, the pie man, Buddy Johnston, the original Mr. Johnston, you know, dominated Fairplex for many, many years. So this race is a tribute to him and the entire family. And it came up a pretty good race. We have eight horses in the field. Looks like pretty competitive. You have Manor Rose, who had won four in a row for Jeff Mullins before he got his win streak snapped last time. He's going to try two turns for the first time. Bob Baffert's got Cowboy Mike in there, who's won a big race over this track last year. He won by seven lengths in a optional claimer. So it looks like a competitive race. Fast Draw Munnings, who was second in this race last year behind Kings River Knight, is making his first start for John Sattler. He was claimed for $32,000 near the end of Del Mar. So it should be a good race. It's the final race of eight on Saturday's program.
Now, you the betting menu changes a little bit from Del Mar and Santa Anita for Los Al, right?
That is correct. We have the original $2 pick six, 70-30 split with, you know, the carryover provision. We also have $1 pick fours. We have $1 pick fours on races two through five, and then the final four races on an eight race card, that would be five through eight. And of course, on a nine race card, six through nine. You know, we follow with the tradition of the nighttime signal. And then we have the 50 cent pick five on races one through five. Only one pick five here. And then, of course, we if there is no carryover on either of the Fridays this meet, which is tomorrow and next Friday, the 20th, there'll be a $10,000 seating by the Los Al management into the pick six for the two Saturdays of the meet.
Fantastic. Well, I can't wait to get started. It's always a fun meeting, and we're glad that we have you back to help us cover that meeting. And I guess we'll talk to you tomorrow then.
Sounds good, Ralph. Take care, and hopefully we'll avoid any more shaking today.
Yeah, no more tremors today. Thanks a lot, Bob.
All right, thank you. Take care.
All right, we will come back with Rich Eng coming up next, and of course, John and Jerry yet to go, so don't you do it. Don't go away.
Thank you, buddy.
There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation in their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star, and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going. Every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting t2t.org.
Hello, I'm Dennis Quaid. For years, Tunnel to Towers has demonstrated a commitment to first responders and military families. They've paid off mortgages and built specially adapted smart homes. Now the foundation is expanding its mission to eradicate veteran homelessness. Please give our veterans a chance to reclaim their dignity by donating at t2t.org.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
Now gave us another winner yesterday, and Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Yeah, it was a nice that was a nice win at Kentucky Downs, and it was a solid. We didn't have to worry about worrying about a photo finish.
Got a beautiful ride from Frankie Torrey on Catherine Marissa.
Marissa, yeah.
And Frankie really took to the course. It's a European style course. He obviously has a lot of experience riding overseas, and he was making the right moves at the right time.
Not even a question about that. And, of course, you're getting ready to get back in the saddle with Handicapping Southern California. You'll start with your Los Alamitos selections tomorrow, but you have a simulcast selection sheet today.
I did have a sheet today, and I'm going to make an offer on the air, Ralph, if anyone just emails me. My email of rich_eng@hotmail.com. I will email it right back to you for free and see if people will try the product. We'll make it free today.
All right. Well, it's a bonus for Race Day Las Vegas today. You get a chance to get Richie's handicapping product free of charge by doing that. He will repeat the email at the end of this segment. Right now, I want to get your thoughts on tonight's Thursday NFL game.
It's Miami hosting the Buffalo Bills, an Eastern Division game. And the angle that I'm going to take, Ralph, is I like the home team, the Miami Dolphins, -2.5. There are still some -2s out there. So if you can snap that up, go ahead. But I like Miami -2.5. One of the angles in play, Ralph, Miami actually won their opener but did not play well at all. Their offense is a timing system. Basically, Tua goes 1, 2, 3 throws. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a lot tighter in this second game. And one thing about the Dolphins, Ralph, they need to be a 1 seed or at worst a 2 seed to succeed in the playoffs, because the last 2 years they've had to play in cold weather in Kansas City and Buffalo, mm-hmm. and got their doors blown off. They need to have home playoff games, and this is a really big step for them, even though it's only the second week.
Yeah, and Buffalo does not do well when they go to Miami to play there either, I understand. So you like Miami, the home team, laying the 2, 2.5 points, and we'll wait and see how the weather is down there as far as the over-under is concerned, but you like Miami to win tonight. All right, let's keep parlaying those wins that you're giving us on the show. Where are we going today?
Race number 5 at Horseshoe, Indianapolis. Race number 5 is 1/16 on the grass, and a trainer who was very busy. You talked about Brendan Walsh at the Kentucky Downs meet. He has the number 9 horse, Khatib. Antonio Burgos rides for him. This horse ran what I consider a winning race last time out at Ellis Park. That was a tougher group than faces today. And the jockey-trainer combo was hitting at 38% at the meet, Ralph. So Walsh likes to use this kid. Let's go with the 5, Khatib, in race 5 at Horseshoe, Indiana.
It is race 5, but it is horse number 9. Number 9.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Number 9. That's correct.
The 9 and the 5th race, Khatib, 4-1 on the morning line. Let's keep that mojo going, Richie. In the 5th race, the 9, at Horseshoe, Indianapolis. And he'll be back with us, of course, for Southern California tomorrow. And we'll take Miami tonight and lay the small points. Until tomorrow, Rich, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Charles. Good luck, everybody.
All righty. Coming up next, of course, our closing acts, John and Jerry. And John Lindo is standing by, so don't go away. We will be right back.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our 7 specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit is back at Los Alamitos Racecourse with 2 great weeks of racing starting on September 13th through September 22nd. The opening weekend program will feature the E.B. Johnston Stakes. Plus, the summer meet will include the running of the Dark Mirage for Fillies and Mares on Saturday, September 21st. And our on-track handicapping contest is set for Saturday, September 21st. You can win a seat to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Daytime racing is back at Los Alamitos, September 13th through the 22nd.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas. We're going to give you that email for Richie if you want his product today free of charge. Now, he's got a simulcasting sheet today that covers all the racetracks that are running in the country today. He's got selections in each of those tracks, a selection or two, not the entire card. And so his email address is Rich, R-I-C-H, underscore, and then his last name, Eng, E-N-G, at hotmail.com. Rich underscore Eng at hotmail.com. And we put it on the chat as well on our site. So if you go to the site and subscribe and get on the chat, you'll see it for the free product today from Richie. Okay? Rich_Ng@hotmail.com. All right, time to go to John Linda now. John, standing by. John, good morning.
Good morning, Matt Ralph. What's shaking over there?
Yeah, I know what's shaking over there. Did you have a little? Did you have a little bit of a ride this morning? Did you?
No, we didn't feel it down here. I think it was up over in Thousand Oaks, so a little bit north toward the Malibu area. But I guess an earthquake of about 5. We throw those back. Those are like small fish. Wait for the big ones.
That's just clean out cobwebs, I guess. You know, when I lived in Southern California, the experts in the field, you know, the weathermen and all those guys that cover stuff like that, say that it was always good to get the little tremors once in a while because it released the pressure of having a big one. So I guess it's okay.
Yeah, I think that's the idea anyways. But, you know, they're still kind of, if you've never been in one before, they're pretty interesting.
John, you know, we don't have Golden Gate anymore. So Santa Anita has decided to have a couple of low takeout offerings as far as betting options when the meet starts after Los Alamitos to take the place of the Golden Hour pick four and the Golden Hour double, right?
Yeah, and they're good wagers for the public. A couple of things. There's a $5 late double, mm-hmm. and that'll be a 15% takeout. So they've reduced the takeout there. There'll be a $3 minimum late pick three, also a 15% takeout. And when they get back to racing, and Gulfstream is also racing, they'll have that coast-to-coast pick five for a dollar. And they're going to keep that as a retail wager. They're not going to have the CAWs, the computer-assisted wagering money, in there. So they're going to protect the people with that a little bit too. So all good decisions to help the regular horse player at Santa Anita.
I like the fact that it's a retail wager. That's what we're terming all wagers that are not in impacted by the CWs, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's when you see all those late odds changes and everything else kind of goes haywire and you're wondering what happened.
Well, the Kentucky Downs meet was interesting. It came down to the last race where the jockey and trainer standings had a tie in it, so that was fine. And as Jonathan Hardoon said, Goliad, who won two races at Kentucky Downs on the turf, is headed for the Breeders' Cup Mile at Del Mar. Now, he does like to run in Southern California, but the Kentucky Downs horses in the past and is 0 for Kentucky Downs in Breeders' Cup. And not one of them have ever won there.
To me, you basically throw that form out when you're handicapping the Breeders' Cup. It's such a unique course. It doesn't translate to the flat ovals. And, you know, we know what Goliad is. He's raced around here for a long time, hadn't won in ages.
Yeah.
And he wins a $500,000 race and a $2 million race in 6 days. So if you like it, you just keep running there. I'd put him away till next September and run there as often as I can.
You know, and the thing is, we all know Dick Mandela, a very, very good horseman. He knows when to fire hot, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, that's the one place you're going to squeeze the lemon there. You'll come back real quickly if you possibly can, because you only get 7 days to try it.
All right, well, we got the big Woodbine Mile and a lot of big races at Woodbine this weekend. Three of them Breeders' Cup winning your ends, and of course, big stakes races at Churchill Downs this weekend as well. And, of course, Los Alamitos. Now, you know, we know you'll be doing the Linda Report for Los Al when it starts tomorrow. But what about any notions of doing any of the other tracks this weekend, the big races?
Yeah, on Saturday at Churchill Downs, they have the Iroquois and the Pocahontas, two big races for two-year-olds, including a Kentucky Derby qualifying race. So we'll cover the full card at Churchill Downs this Saturday as well. And, Ralph, just one real quick comment on the Woodbine races. The Natalma and the stakes, that's for two-year-olds, a mile in grass,
uh-huh.
13 horses, 8 trained by Mark Cassie. And then the summer stakes, the summer is a grade one for fillies going 1 mile on the turf at Woodbine. 17 horses in there, 9 trained by Mark Cassie.
Mark Cassie is trying to up one on Bob Baffert, I guess, huh?
He's making Bob Baffert look like a peon. Yeah,
wow.
he's talking about flooding the entry box. There you go.
I will bet you that's got to be a record. And we know that Chad Brown, on a lot of those stakes races on the grass in New York, when they have 5 and 6 horse fields, that he has 3 and 4 horses in that. But I don't remember the quantity that you're talking about with Mark Cassie in those races. It'll be fun to go over them on Saturday, that's for sure. So will you be looking at any of those races?
No, I don't do Woodbine on a general basis, so I'm going to stay away from that. But I will be watching because those races tend to produce some horses that will come out and do some good.
in those Breeders' Cup races,
yes.
Especially in Southern California.
Especially the Woodbine Mile. Churchill Downs?
Absolutely. We will do that. We go from the all-turf at Kentucky Downs to all-dirt at Churchill Downs.
Nothing in between. Let's hope there's not an all-tapeta footing somewhere along the line.
If there is, we'll skip it.
John, I want to thank you so much for dropping by today. And, of course, we gear it up tomorrow with Los Alamitos starting, and it's always a fun meet.
Oh, looking forward to it. Got to support those guys who have been so good to the horsemen for many, many years, helping us stay in business in Southern California.
You better believe it, that's for sure. Hey, thanks a lot, John. You finish up your honey-do list, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ready to go, Ralph. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, John Lindo in Southern California. Now we get to Jerry Jackowitz. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
All right. Well, you got your Raiders cap on today. Okay, that's good.
Well, I can't be wearing my Giants hat. I mean, I'm not a masochist.
All right, enough said there. Look, we had to cut you off yesterday because the computer will cut us off anyhow at the top of the show. So you can continue with your thoughts of what you had yesterday right now.
Yeah, you probably need a blinking light for me so I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, the question was ROI and why I don't do it. And I think I conveyed this yesterday. It's not really important for me to do it, to prove to anybody that I'm a good handicapper. If they can't see it, they can't see it. But it's important for them to do it for themselves. And I'll give you some parameters and some ways to think about it so you don't have to do the hard work of actually writing it down after every race or, you know, keeping detailed, granular notes. If at the end of the week you have to go to this bank account to get more money out of the bank account so that you can play next week, you're a negative player. Your ROI is below a dollar. You're losing money for every dollar you put up. If, however, at the end of the week, you've taken your wife out for dinner or your girlfriend out for dinner and filled up the car with gas and you still have your bankroll from the previous week, then you're a plus player. If you actually have enough money to put into the bank after that, then you're starting to have probably $1.20 or $1.25 ROI advantage on the game compared to a dollar bet. And you actually are doing the right thing. There's some easy metrics for people to understand. This has been going on for 1,000 years. It may be a little worse today than it was the last time I did this. Mm-hmm. But if you bet every single favorite, you lose 10 cents on the dollar. So right away, if you're betting the favorite every race, I'll tell you what your ROI is. It's 0.90 or less.
Okay.
For sure, 100%. You're not gonna do better than that because the mathematics are such, you're not going to be able to go in and pick out, oh, just the perfect favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you're betting the two longest shots in the board, you're going to lose 20 cents on the dollar. You're going to be down. You're going to be a dollar. You're going to be 80 cents to a dollar. Now, I'm not including the take there. I'm just talking about how your bankroll is going to end up at the end of the year. It's simple. It's the same thing as buying anything in life, except it's sort of upside down, but. You have to get a bargain. You have to get a deal. If you're betting a 7-2 shot, it really needs to be worth 5-2. If you're betting a 9-5, I'm not saying you can't bet a favorite, but it needs to be 3-2. It's got to be its fair value. You have to get more than the fair value on every single play. And you have to remember there's a take against you of 15% on average and 20% if you're playing exactas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a difficult thing to overcome. And it's not saying it's easy. It's very hard, but it is doable. And the only way you're going to do it, and I'm going to give you a really good example of it. The only way you're going to do it is by not betting favorites, number one, and finding a betting method. And I have a strategy I share on the show in a general way.
Uh-huh.
Finding a betting strategy where the public is inefficient. Because you can't bet with the public. If you bet with the public, you're a loser, plain and simple.
All right. Now, I'm going to give you the blinking light because you've got about a minute left, a little bit more than a minute left to give us the wrap-up. And also, I think what you're telling me in the long form there that gives us a great example is that we got to always look for value.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, let me give you the best example I can think of, it just as a specific bet. Back in 1997, before my wife and I moved out here to Las Vegas, we moved in September. Mm-hmm. In the Traverse, I think it was the Traverse, Wally DeLossi shipped deputy commander to New York with Chris McCarron, and he was 4-1. Mm-hmm. And to my handicapping, this was a 3-2 favorite to win. Okay. On the favorite was Behrens, with the greatest jockey I've ever seen before, since, or after, Jerry Bailey. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the play and I looked at the payouts, and the only way to bet the play that I could see that made sense was to bet deputy commander to win and to play one exact, the deputy commander over Behrens. That's the only thing I could do. Mm-hmm. And I bet, if I recall correctly, I bet 800 to win on deputy commander and a $200 straight exactor for a $1,000 ticket.
Okay, we got to wrap it up. Go ahead.
I'll be real fast.
Go.
They got to the wire, and who knew who won? Jerry Bailey lifted Behrens up in the last 50 yards and got him to the wire, and I won the most desperate photo of my life. The point is, I never, ever got to bet the favorite jockey I ever had, Jerry Bailey. I never got to bet him except one time on Arcane.
All right. And if you had one bet on Jerry Bailey, Arcane was the one to bet because he paid over $200 to win. We wrap up the show with that good story. And in the meantime, we'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, one more thing to say. Jerry's going to say it. Go ahead.
Have a great race day, everybody. And don't bet favorites.